today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Tom, did you hear the one about the grandmother who sat on the floating piece of ice that looked like a throne? The queen floated away. She had to be rescued at sea. I kid you not. That and other mildly amusing and occasionally salacious stories next in the travel news.
Yeah, over a month ago, a road reporter, Clayton Whitehead, talked to us about his long plane flight and two-week cruise to the land down under. Now, we asked him how to survive a long flight and the limit of one suitcase. Well, Clayton's going to join us to find out how he did. That's coming up at 3:20.
A brand new airport opens in Washington State north of Seattle tomorrow. We'll tell you about this new option and when it might offer service to Sacramento at 3:35.
Well, Las Vegas, as always, keeps adding to the list of attractions. It's changing from a gambling and entertainment mecca to a place with a million things to do. Now, the latest is a Cannabis Museum, is that right?
I think so, yeah. Okay. It doesn't make any sense to me either, but yeah.
Well, if you promise not to inhale, we'll tell you all about it at 3:50.
Everything from A to Z when it comes to travel. Thank you for being a part of our audience. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Alaska, go north to Russia's own.
But I was born an American man.
I come from a land, land, land.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks on Route 66. Let it roll.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Well, here we are. It's the final hour of the Travel and Entertainment Guys.
Wait, what?
Oh, that's right. We only have 1 hour, don't we? I always wanted to do that. I hear
thought
these...
I slept through the first half of the program.
You know, I was listening to one of my favorite shows earlier today, and, and it's like a three-hour talk show, and the guy goes, he was taking the break. He says, and then coming up, our final hour, and I've always wanted to be able to do that. Maybe one of these days we'll get 2 or 3 hours.
Oh, heaven forbid.
Anyway, it's Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm Tom Romano. Across from me is Clayton Whitehead. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and we're here to make you smarter travelers again on this fabulous Sunday
afternoon. Mr. Whitehead here is here to reprise. Remember, he gave us told us a bunch of tips on how he was going to make this long plane and cruise trip, and so we're going to find out how we're going to hold him to his word, because we've got some cuts from some of the things that he told us when he was here a couple months ago, and we're going to see how that all worked out for him. There's a new airport up north we're going to talk about. We've got a new attraction in Las Vegas, so we've got a pretty diverse program.
And at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, as we do every week, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. And with that, Mark, you got a stash of stuff there.
It's tax time, and if you owe the IRS a bunch of money, you might want to consider paying them if you're planning on leaving the country, because the IRS is confiscating the passports of people who owe them lots of money.
Wow.
And saying,
good idea.
You're not going anywhere until you pay us. However, they're also saying that when you pay us, we will expedite getting your passport done. So if you're planning on traveling internationally, you find this out at the lab. What a great idea from the IRS. I'm thinking that, you know, this puts them in a fairly good negotiating position. Don't worry if you owe them $500. This is mostly for people who owe them over $52,000.
Oh, 52.
I paid mine down to 51, so
okay.
I think I'm going to be fine in this particular case. All right, we talked about this in the headlines. So this nice 77-year-old lady is, I guess she was she on a sightseeing trip? Does it say? No, it doesn't say what she was doing. She's in Iceland. So she goes out, she sees this piece of ice. If you go to travelguysradio.com, there's a picture of all of this, of the lady actually sitting on the piece of ice. So there's this throne-shaped iceberg, and she's on a trip to Iceland, and so she's from Texas, and she goes out in the hunk of ice, and she thinks, you know, what a great place to snap a picture of. So she has her son snap a picture, but apparently her weight on the piece of ice caused it to dislodge from wherever it was, and it started floating away. So Grandma is headed out into the south, into the North Atlantic, as part of an iceberg, and is never. She had to be rescued by the Icelandic version of the Coast Guard.
Well, that's something that doesn't happen every day.
If you look at the picture, really and truly, at one point, she's Grandma's pretty much out there. I mean, you know, she's on this thing that looks like a throne. Anyway,
I probably thought it was
a lot funnier than most people will. Speaking of missing the boat or floating out to sea, right there on TravelGuysRadio.com next to the pictures of Grandma is a picture of a couple, and this is a reminder, this couple, they were in the Bahamas, and they're running back to the dock, and they see their cruise ship floating away. They were 45 minutes late. You know, normally there's a plank up time. There's a we're going to pull in the rope, and that's usually 45 minutes or an hour before we leave. It's like on a plane, that's only about 10 minutes before they leave.
Right, so, you know, 45 minutes before the boat actually
moves,
ship starts to move, they'll pull the plank in.
Because it takes that long for them to get all the ropes in and everything, get ready to take off. So once that process starts, you're a man or a woman without a home. And this couple, apparently, and I just put it there because it's kind of fun to watch if you're into humor like that. And the other thing is, it's a great reminder that if you're on a cruise, I can't emphasize enough that Clayton just came off of a cruise. Don't plan to get back to the ship an hour before it sails when, you know, ropes up, at when gangplank up is at 45 minutes. You got to give yourself an hour or an hour and a half.
Have you ever personally experienced, you know, one of your travelers that failed to make the boat?
Oh, yes. We left someone behind in Nassau. It was a few years ago. Uh-huh. We were doing a Caribbean cruise, and we left someone behind because they didn't time it right.
Was this someone in your travel group? Or
It was someone with us.
Oh.
Traveling with the best travel company in Sacramento. Uh-huh. But it wasn't our fault they got left behind. They weren't following the rules. And the cruise line makes it very, very easy. You can't not know. You get a printed thing on your bed the night prior, and there's big signs by all the – well, there's only one exit usually, I think. Unless maybe the mega ships might have more than one exit. But there's big signs that say, you know, you have to be back by this time and we're sailing at this time. So if you miss it, you know, you need it.
And people say, well, what do you do if you miss it? And it's like, well, you go to the airport and you figure out a way to get to where the ship's
gonna be next. So this was a situation where you were at
a
shore tour. They went ashore.
We were docked, so people may have been out doing optional shore excursions, or they might have just been on their own because we were in the little town site.
Got it. Okay.
So a lot of people had just strolled into town, and this particular couple, I guess the gentleman was complaining about, you know, walking too much or shopping, carrying the bags or whatever, and the wife told the man, "Sit down on the bench and don't you move until I come back and get you." Well, she went back to the boat and got on board, so we left her husband behind.
Oh my gosh, guys. Guys, there's a lesson to be learned there, okay?
Be careful, because the white wife might be taking advantage of the opportunity to leave you in some faraway, forget divorce proceedings, you can just stick him off on some deserted island somewhere.
And now, back to the travel news.
An increasing number of people want to travel ethically, according to this article on Travel Pulse. 39% of Americans say they have travel guilt after taking a trip they later worry might have been unethical, doing something like, you know, riding on an elephant or something like that. 91% of international travelers say it's important for their trip to be ethical. A huge majority of people say taking an ethical trip involves learning about the culture, learning simple phrases in the language, buying souvenirs from local merchants. There really was, throughout this, doing business, supporting local businesses, respecting local monuments. This is a little bit of a change from some of the things that we've been seeing in the travel news here lately. And respondents included riding on elephants, swimming with dolphins, posing for photographs with captive wildlife on their list of unethical activities they would not do again. 67% of respondents now research a destination and the activities offered before traveling. 6 hours is the average amount of time spent researching a trip by travelers who are looking for an ethical place to visit. And important for me as the owner of a tour company, they are looking for ethical people to travel with. So they're looking for companies that have ethical policies and ethical ways of presenting their products and that do so online in a way that tell them that these companies are ethical. So I good news, I'll tell you what, that folks are looking for ethical ways to travel, I think, is super good news. A man said, well, hey, you know, if you throw coins into the plane engine, it'll bring you good luck.
Excuse me?
Not so much. Man in China threw planes into a Lucky Airlines flight.
Coins into a Lucky?
He threw them into the engine. Fortunately, this was on while it was on the ground. Coins were seen before the plane took off.
And the airline was called Lucky?
The airline was called Lucky. It cost the airline $21,000 in repairs to the engine to get the coins out, and it affected 160 people. So I'm just suggesting that maybe that didn't turn out to be quite so lucky. Speaking of airlines, hackers are targeting airlines in record numbers. Attacks against passenger air travel increased by more than 15,000 in the year between 2017 and 2018. That's not like 1,500 or 150%. That's 15,000%. You know, occasionally we see where an airline has had an outage and their whole system is down or something. So what experts are saying is that this could happen more often, that airlines are having a hell of a time keeping up with hackers who are trying to bring down their system. Remember the old days when you went to the airport? Do you remember you went to the airport and you had, a paper ticket? Yeah, mm-hmm. You had a paper ticket that the travel agent had produced.
You've been
for
doing
you.
This for 40 years. Yeah. You should know exactly what it was like.
And you went to the airport paper, and they gave you a boarding
no
pass.
TSA.
And it was. But anyways, so if you're flying, don't be surprised if you run into one of those things. Thing came in my mailbox this week, said buy miles and get a bonus. Reminded me to please tell all of our travelers, never, ever, 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 ever buy miles from an airline. Only exception would be you've got 48,000 miles and you need 50,000 for a particular ticket or a destination, and you go in and you buy enough miles to top off your account. You never, ever, 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 ever buy miles from a hotel or an airline frequent traveler program. It's never a good deal. Never, ever, ever, ever. Broadway is doing a new show, Tom and Clayton, just to show you the power of theater. And the power of Broadway. They do the show is coming out called All Our Children. It's set in 1941 in Germany. A terrible crime is taking place in a German clinic for disabled children. Remember, the Nazis did away with a lot of disabled children and young people, and this play addresses it.
Wow!
So probably not the most the most uplifting subject, but nonetheless. Just a proof that that theater covers such a wide variety of subjects, and there's theater, there's something for everybody. So congratulations to them.
Not a musical, is it?
It's not a musical. It's going to be at an off-Broadway production called All Our Children, and it opens up next month. Speaking of Broadway, if you want to be an intern for the Music Circus or Broadway, the Broadway programs, there is a link at travelguysradio.com. They are looking for interns for the summer season. If you would like to be an intern, go to travelguysradio.com and you can see the link there. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Again, most everything we talk about, links to all that good stuff and those great pictures, a picture of that couple standing on the dock there waving.
See you, Grandma.
Yeah.
Hi, Grandma.
The photo is from a distance and it's curious. Not only the guy with his arms out and exasperation, but the people that are on the boat that are kind of waving to him saying, you sucker.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's all available at travelguysradio.com. Clayton Whitehead joins us, a recap of his trip down under. We'll see how he planned and how it all worked out. That's next. Oh, Luis, I love you. Look at you. You pulled just the right piece of music, didn't he? All right. Travel and entertainment guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Again, visit travelguysradio.com. Mark?
So, about a couple of months ago, Mr. Clayton Whitehead came by because he was about to take a bunch of people on a long plane trip across many waves of water to the land down under and take them on a cruise and all that kind of stuff. And we weren't really concerned about you know, where you were going or what you were going to do as much as we were how you were going to get there and how you were going to deal with, you know, the restrictions of packing on a cruise ship. And you know, suitcases now are per bag when you go on international trips. So it's expensive if you take an extra suitcase and all. So anyway, we asked you some questions about some of the things that you were going to do. By the way, thank you for coming into the Travel Guys, knowing that you started your day in Indianapolis.
At midnight Pacific time.
At midnight Pacific time, yes. The wonders of air travel are that you can be hurtled in an aluminum tube westbound and pick up all of that time. You know, you can leave the middle of the country at 6 o'clock and be here by 10.
Well, and speaking of coming home from down under, we left at 3:30 in the afternoon and got here like at 9 o'clock in the morning on the same day.
So
that was crazy.
You were packing for your plane trip.
Yes, I was.
And you were telling us some of the things that you had on the plane trip, something that you were taking for the very first time.
I will confess I have invested in compression stockings and compression shorts that I'll be wearing. Mm-hmm. I've had the shorts for a while. This will be my first time with the stockings. We'll see how that goes.
Well, I think I'm going to call them socks because stockings sounds dumb. Uh-huh. But they do.
Too late. You already said it.
Well, anyway, I'm going to.
We just played it.
I'm rephrasing. Basically, I was covered in spandex everywhere from the waist down except my kneecaps.
Uh-huh.
And I can't. I felt really good when I got there, and my ankles weren't swollen. So I guess it did what it was supposed to do.
I understand compression socks, and the blood flow in the legs, but I don't. I think that was the first time I'd ever heard of compression shorts.
Well, you know, there's. I hate to be negative, but there's that thing if you sit too long. I forget what it's called, but you get blood clots or something. And I mean, it's. You know, people have died of this.
You don't want to get blood clots in your thing. I'm telling you right now. Yeah. That's a concern.
But people have died of this on really long international flights. You know, they tell us to get up and walk around, but the reality is maybe we don't, maybe we can't. There's no place to go, right?
Well, that explains the socks.
Well, but the where you're sitting is like your thighs, right? The back of your thighs.
Okay. So these
the shorts are kind of massaging between your waist and your knee.
Okay.
And then the stockings or the socks.
So they're not just there to compress.
From your
knee
to your pinky toe.
This is a family show. So did it work?
I actually felt very good when we arrived.
Uh-huh. That's all that counts.
I think they worked all right. I'll keep wearing them on long flights.
All right. So we talked about how you were going to deal with all of the time change.
I find for me, when I do these long hauls to Europe, or in this case, down under, if I sleep awake, sleep awake, sleep awake, I not only get a legitimate amount of rest, but I think I kind of psych my brain into, if not psyching it into the new time zone, I at least trick it into not knowing where we are or caring.
That's one of the craziest things that I've heard.
And I will own that.
Uh-huh.
The way it came out.
Okay.
There were a lot of movies that I hadn't seen yet that I wanted to see.
So I
watched a 2-hour movie and then I slept 2 hours. Watched a 2-hour movie, slept 2 hours. And even though my phone was on airplane mode, you know, the timer still works. So you can use that as an alarm. And again, I felt really great when we got down under. Not everybody did, but I did.
So your theories of...
Yep. I skipped the airline meals. I thought it was really surprising for a flight leaving LA at 10:30 at night. About an hour in, they served dinner. I was like, I just had a really good dinner in LA. I'm not going to eat this crap.
You took your people, you had a long layover in Los Angeles, and you took your folks off airport property and had dinner or something
at
like that?
At the Proud Bird Restaurant, which is, it faces one of the runways. It's just off airport property. I wish I could remember the resume of the gentleman who built it, but he was a World War II fighter pilot and had collected a big assortment of era planes. So this began as his warehouse / hangar, I guess, to keep his old planes in, and then a food component was built. So it was really fun, a really good meal, and there were these old vintage planes hanging all around, and it was really close. I mean, literally... 10 minutes after we left airport property, we were sitting at our...
And the option was to sit because planes to Los Angeles, and you were with United, I think, on the way out, so the Sacramento connections weren't particularly great.
Yeah, we were like 4 hours on the ground, so this was just a diversion, but it was a lot of fun.
It was, you were just trying to get the people to look at the bright, shiny object over here and not realize they were waiting for 4 hours before they flew across the ocean. And it worked. Okay, so we get the news to Australia, and you do a little touring before you're getting on the boat, and you told us... that because of the time of the year that you were going to try a particular type of attire?
We're going in January. That's their summer. So mainly I'm just taking t-shirts and shorts for daytime wear. I think that'll be appropriate.
So?
And you know, I didn't take nearly enough t-shirts and shorts. I had to pay the ship, which really irked me, twice to do my laundry for me, because I was thinking it was going to be summer and I was thinking it was going to be more casual than my former cruising experiences, but it was way more casual.
Okay, I'm going to put you on the spot here. What was, if you can think of it off the top of your head, you're with Holland America, what was the best bargain and what was the biggest ripoff on board?
Oh, the biggest ripoffs are definitely the optional shore excursions. I have a friend who works for a cruise line that will remain unnamed, and he says they traditionally mark up the optional shore excursions 300%. You see, the cruise lines don't plan these. They use local tour companies in each town.
Right.
My feeling is that Holland America was more like 400 to 500%, because one of the things I did when I got off in these towns was I drifted around and talked to the local suppliers and, you know, try to get a feel for how I might do it myself and do it better next time. And most of these cities you could tour for $40 local currency, which is only 75 cents on the dollar for us.
Right.
But buying the local city tour on board was like $139.
But if you go out on the local tour and that the cruise line doesn't know that you're on with the local guy and you something of the bus breaks down and you don't get back and the boat
that is
sails
true.
Without
but
you.
But if you're in Sydney, Australia, and you're on a hop-on, hop-off tour, I mean, what's the probability that something will go wrong? First of all, and second of all, if something does go wrong, you hop out and you get a taxi and you go back to the boat.
All right.
It's not like you're on a glacier.
Before the news comes up here, you were about to go buy one item to go with your wardrobe before you left here.
A new carry-on bag.
Let's talk about that. Okay, so you were about to go buy a new carry-on bag. So okay. How did that work out?
Well, I went to my favorite corner right over here where Ross and Marshalls are in the same shopping center. I honestly don't remember which one I bought my bag from, but I had a great little wheelie, kind of that carbon
did
material.
Did you pay more than $10 for it?
I did, but I didn't pay more than $50. And it served me very, very well. It's that hard plastic carbon filament.
We just got about 30 seconds here. Anything you wish you'd taken that you didn't take with you?
Oh, wow.
Or what did you take in your suitcase that you got back home and say, I really didn't
dress
need
dress clothes.
That.
I totally did. I took all these dress clothes that I thought I needed at night at dinner.
Uh-huh.
And people weren't dressing up except on the gala nights, which were only two.
All right. We are just about out of time. The news is coming up next. Clayton, thank you for coming in and recapping your trip. After the news, we're going to take you up north to Payne Field in Seattle. Brand new airport opens tomorrow with the Travel Guys.
I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know.
You found the Travel and Entertainment Guys on your radio, maybe on your podcast. We are Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. You can find us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Brand new airport, brand new special guests, first time on the Travel Guys. Mark, introduce our guests.
Doesn't happen very often. We have Amy and Angie from the Snohomish County Visitors Bureau, and some people are saying, let's see, Snohomish, where would that be? Well, you've heard of that before, it's somewhere in the back of my mind. If you've been to Seattle, then maybe you know Snohomish County. And the cool thing is, this is the place in the country where a brand new airport is going to open up on Monday. Amy and Angie, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Tom. Thank you for having us. We're just really delighted to have the opportunity to speak to your listening audience.
Well, you are going to be on every newscast in the country here this week, because it's not very often that a new commercial airport opens. And we should explain to folks who might not know that this is not a completely a new build. This is Payne Field, which has been the field that Boeing has used for many years. You guys have the Boeing plant up there. But starting this coming week, you're going to have service to eight different cities from your airport. And this is just a wild guess, but considering the traffic in Seattle and the fact that you're on the north side of town and they're on the south, Sacramento isn't one of those eight cities yet, but my guess is it won't be very long until that service is expanded pretty dramatically out there. Congratulations, Amy and Angie, on your new airport.
Thank you. We are very excited about it as well. The new air service begins on Monday with Alaska Airlines, but in very short order, United Airlines will be joining the ranks at the new terminal, and United will be flying to an additional city. So we have 9 cities actually serving direct nonstop to Painfield and Everett.
Wow, you'll be able to get to Denver and then hypothetically get all the way across the country. You've got Alaska cities there. I'm sure that it won't be very long. So I wanted to do this to talk to you ladies, even though Sacramento isn't on the first list. I'm reasonably certain that we will be sometime. Do you think that other airlines will come out there? Is there anything that's going on that you can tell us about?
The airport has 2 gates. And so all of the lift opportunities are full between Alaska Airlines and United. So United is just serving Denver and San Francisco. And as you mentioned, Mark, Alaska will be serving 8 different cities, Denver being the furthest east. A couple of flights into the Bay Area in San Francisco and San Jose, and down as far south as San Diego. So we serve the western states, and including Las Vegas and Phoenix.
Has there been any talk, Amy, about what might come next for the airport? Is there a possibility that it could be more than 2 gates and a dozen and a half flights sometime?
At this point, there's no discussion of expansion. So with our first flights on Monday and 24 flights a day, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, I think everybody's just like, let's get the lights on. Let's get the first flight in, and then maybe we'll talk about the future.
Well, and the traffic situation there in Seattle has become almost legendary because you guys are a coastal city there with Puget Sound and stuff. So you don't have a lot of east west. It's mostly north south, and getting to the airport anytime after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, especially for those of you who live on the north side, it's kind of an adventure. You have to pack a lunch, take a sleeping bag and hope for the best.
Exactly.
The light rail has helped. The light rail has helped some, but this gives people a whole nother option on the north side of town. So, ladies, I wish you luck. You've got the lighthouse out there, the gateway to Whidbey Island. For those who are still trying to place Snohomish County, just think north of Seattle. There are antique shops there, like, as I mentioned, the lighthouse, ferry boats, wonderful places to eat. It is, if you haven't discovered, you haven't gone north of Seattle yet, this is your perfect excuse to do so. Anything else you want to tell our listeners here, ladies, before we let you go?
I just want to say, Mark, you're hired. That was the perfect explanation of which we are actually, we changed our visitor-facing brand. We are now Seattle North Country True PNW, really to connect with those travelers who are going to be coming in up and down the West Coast.
PNW, I'm guessing Pacific Northwest?
Correct.
Wow. Well, it really is a great place, and the reason I can say that is twofold. One is that Amy and I are good friends, and the other is that sports leisure travelers have been coming to Snohomish County because Mark and Amy are good friends for a long time. So we even know the best places to eat downtown. So we're right there. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we will have a link to the new airport up there, and also a link to Snohomish County tourism. So the next time you head to Seattle and you're looking for something to do, we have expanded your list. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much, Mark and Tom. Great to speak with you today.
Thank you both, guys. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Well, so sweet. Tomorrow, the big day. Mark, tell me what you seem to know a lot about this area and Painfield, and I've been acquainted with these
people
for a while.
Well, Snohomish is, I'm a small town guy, and I love the Pacific Northwest, and Snohomish is a wonderful little town. There's a whole county. The Mukilteo is a lot of Native American names there. Mukilteo is in the county. That's where the ferry boat leaves to Whidbey Island. And there's a wonderful Ivar's restaurant down in the water. And there's a lighthouse there. The whole area is just feels kind of homey. It's a little wet for my... you know, to live there. But I've always loved visiting the Pacific Northwest. I think it's one of the best places in the whole country. And one of the bummers has become, you know, getting in and out of that Seattle airport the last few years since Delta came in and Seattle and Alaska ramped up their service and the like. So it's a little different situation, and it's on the south side of town. So if you're headed north anywhere, then you got to be able to get back to the airport. And so this is going to be a big deal. It won't help those of us in Sacramento yet, but I will predict that this is going to be so popular that two gates will not be enough for that little airport. And they'll have five or six gates up there and be running 40 or 50 flights a day before you know it. That's just a prediction, because the Pacific Northwest is growing so much, and it's going to be so helpful to people who live and work on the north side of town to be able to commute by plane out of town and back again without having to deal with all of that traffic and stuff. So I think it will be a really good thing. So you're a Las Vegas fan.
I am. I love Vegas. There's just so much to do. It's such a getaway.
Well, you are a perfect example of the person that they're trying to appeal to, because mm-hmm. when your Las Vegas career started, mm-hmm. your exposure to Las Vegas, I'm sure it was mostly gambling related.
Gambling and shows.
And shows, because mm-hmm. that was the thing that Las Vegas was known for. Mm-hmm. And so as casinos started being built by Native American tribes all over the country, and particularly around California, the allure of having to go to one particular place to pull a handle on a slot machine kind of sort of went away, because mm-hmm. you could do it in a lot of different places. So places like Las Vegas and Reno have decided that they needed to reinvent themselves. Ed from the Big Dig, who's been a regular guest on our show, where you can go down and rent pieces of equipment. The Neon Sign Museum down there.
Yeah, the Mob Museum.
The Mob Museum. You can rent a go-kart type car, except the big boys go-kart car. There's a zillion things to do in Las Vegas.
And everywhere you turn now, everybody got a new zip line. You can zip line everywhere.
And they most of them don't have a damn thing to do with gambling.
Nope.
So if you just have some money to spend and you want to go someplace where the weather is good and the hotel rates are fairly, you're going to pay a resort fee everywhere on the strip. You're going to pay to park on the strip. So it's not going to be as cheap as it used to be. And most of the downtown hotels now have resort fees, and many of them have parking fees. So unless you're going out to Henderson mm-hmm. or you're going to one of the fringe, Laughlin or something like that, you're going to one of the fringe areas, you're probably going to be hit with some of these nickel and diming fees that seem to be popular these days.
Yeah, $35 for a resort fee, even if you're staying in a comp room in the middle of the week.
Yeah, exactly. You've had that. It's sure, like somebody sure. who's
well,
had
like
experience.
I play the. I like to go to the blackjack tournaments. And the casinos are always happy to provide you a room plus resort fee, so it's not altogether free.
So where all this is going is we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to introduce you to one of Las Vegas's newest attraction. It is a cannabis museum, of course. The consumption of marijuana is now legal in the state of Nevada. So the latest attraction there is a cannabis museum. I don't think that you can spy it or consume it in the museum, but perhaps you can learn about it there. We'll find all about that next on The Travel Guys.
You found us, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations. We did this last year. We talked about the music circus and their intern program. I run across a number of young people who have involved themselves in this. It's particularly if you're interested in musical theater and what goes on in theater in general, this is a perfect opportunity to get your feet wet and be part of, probably one of the best music theater programs in the country.
Absolutely.
Right here in the Sacramento area. And if you go to travelguysradio.com, underneath the highlights banner there in blue, you'll see the link that will take you there as to how you could apply to be an intern at the music circus here in 2019, moving into 2020.
One other quick community announcement here before we get to our last guest of the program. The Sacramento Valley Chorus, which is a chorus made up of a bunch of wonderful ladies around town, the greater Sacramento area, have lost their place to rehearse. They had a spot out by McClellan, and they have lost that. And they need a rehearsal site. And so we have put a link there at travelguysradio.com to where you can reach Rhonda. You can phone her or email her if you have a place that the ladies might be able to rehearse in. They're looking for something that is at least a couple thousand square feet. They have some risers that they need to be able to bring in and hypothetically leave there. So if you know of an open space, or maybe you're a business person, you've got a space that is not leased right now, and these ladies might be able to use it for a while, they're willing to pay for electricity and heat and things like that, and probably keep the bathroom clean and stuff of that sort. So it's a way to have some money and help out a community group. So go to travelguysradio.com and you can see the link there for the Sacramento Valley Chorus if you have an idea of a place that they might be able to rehearse in town. All right, we talked about, before we cut away to the break here, about new attractions in Las Vegas and the fact that that city really has turned itself into a just come here and have fun, not necessarily a come here and gamble sort of place. Our guest this afternoon is Ben from the Zach Benheim from the Cannabition Museum.
Cool.
In Las Vegas. That's hard to say. Zach, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it. How's your day going?
Going well, Zach. What part of Vegas did you decide to start up your exhibit, your museum?
So we're actually in downtown Las Vegas, right off of the Fremont Street Experience.
Okay.
So it's actually a really historic part of Vegas. It's the original Strip. It's where the first major gambling houses were.
So you guys are kind of in there, Zach, with the Mob Museum and maybe the Neon Museum and some other.
Yeah, we're only a couple blocks away from both of those, and so it's really helping bring back some life to this part of downtown.
You could zip line to your museum.
Exactly, off of the world's largest slot machine.
There you go, really.
All the way down Fremont Street. There's a zip line right next to us as well.
People who haven't been to that area, the Neon Museum, go at night. It's really cool. The Mob Museum is really worth going to. Zach, tell us about the Cannabis Museum. Is this where people go to buy their cannabis, or is this where we go to learn about cannabis? Tell us about what the museum is about and what happens there.
So we are 12 exhibits. It's basically an art exhibition currently. We work for education and advocacy. Our goal is proper legalization and education. So you come in, you get about a 35-minute guided tour, you hang out with one of our industry professionals, and they're going to take you from seed to smoke. So we take you through the history, through stigmatization, through legalization, and we kind of just dispel any myths. We talk about some misinformation that's just been prevalent through our society since the early 1900s, and we're just trying to get people to understand how to consume in this recreational market. Las Vegas is now a little bit over 2 years old and doing recreational sales. But there's a big hole in that nobody who's from out of town has anywhere to actually smoke. So we're actually looking to be the first lounge where you can come in and consume. So everything from 7-foot-tall nugs, which you can hug, to the world's largest functioning glass bong, 24 feet tall.
Zach, is there much effort at educating folks on the medical uses of, we're seeing CAB and CBDs now talk about putting them in regulating, putting it in food, and of course, CBD being the substance that will get you medical relief and pain relief and stuff like that without getting you stoned. Because that's something that people seem to, where marijuana has been legalized, that seems to be one of the big conversations.
Right. And so we actually have a CBD store on site where after your tour, you guys can ask any questions with your tour guide. Basically, we discuss the medicinal benefits of these cannabinoids that are non-psychoactive. When we're talking about, getting high or getting stoned, you're looking at a specific molecule called THC. And what people don't understand is that CBD has none of those effects. It's not going to give you any sort of high. What it does, it relieves inflammation, it relieves pain, it relieves anxiety. So there are a lot of medicinal benefits. And that's one of our major goals, is talking about how people can utilize these different naturally occurring cannabinoids rather than, you know, taking poisons like opioids. So we've seen a lot of replacement therapies. We've seen a lot of people who even utilize this for their pets because all mammals are susceptible to the effects of these products.
Do you, Zach, is there an entry fee or a cost associated with touring the museum?
Yes. So if you guys come down, it would be $24.20. We do local deals for anyone with a Nevada license. But we also have a Groupon deals. We have a bunch of ways to purchase tickets. You can get them on our website, which is just cannabition.com. But there are multiple ways. But if you're just walking past and you like a ticket, we always have those available.
How long have you been open and how are you being received?
So we've opened at the end of September last year with Life is Beautiful, which is a music festival which takes over downtown Las Vegas. And it was a massive success. We really saw a huge surge of people that first week. And now we're looking to see all of the new convention circuit people. What we've found is that a lot of people don't know where we are yet. And so we're working on getting our name out and broadcasting that. We've hit a lot of countries besides the United States, and we've had close to 4 billion interactions, and now we're looking for everyone to come and actually experience the museum.
My bad, Zach. Normally, we have a link on our website to all the folks who are guests on the program, and I'll get one up there tomorrow, but I've just noticed there isn't one today. So please tell anybody who's listening who would like more information on the museum, what is your website address?
Sure. It's Cannabition. So it's like cannabis and exhibition put together. If you'd like, I could spell it, but it's easier just to Google the Cannabis Museum. You can also follow us on Instagram or Facebook. We have a lot of information. Also, we're going to be talking about when we're going to actually let people come and use the world's largest bong. Like I said, it's 24 feet tall, so we're going to have a lot of lungs to help us smoke that.
Zach, thank you. You have a tremendous amount of information, and you definitely know your product. I wish you all luck there in downtown Las Vegas. You've got a great location, and you've got some other attractions right next door to you, and downtown and the whole Fremont Street experience has come a long way in the last 5 or 6 years. So folks who haven't been to Las Vegas for a while, that's a part of town that really you can go to, and I find it to be the most pleasant part to go to because things are closer to each other. The mega resorts are a quarter mile apart out on the strip, and the places downtown are a lot closer. Zach, thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys today. We'll check back in with you down the road.
Thank you guys so much. Have a wonderful day.
All right. The Cannabition Museum in Las Vegas. You know how I found out about this?
No.
Our buddy Ed at Dig This sent
really?
Me a note and said, you know, we just another thing that's been added to the list here in Las Vegas. Ed has become kind of the Chamber of Commerce, the unofficial Chamber of Commerce guy.
We're going to have to check in with
him.
Going
to have to check in with him. Here is kind of an interesting thing I found. Tom, this comes from a website called Joe Sent Me that I subscribe to. Hotel bathtubs are going away. Have you noticed this?
You know, now that you mention it, recently I have stayed in a couple of different locations that had showers only.
Well, this is the hotel's version. Bathtubs are very wasted space in hotels. So they can gain about 9 feet of square footage by eliminating a bathtub and turning it into a shower.
You know, I think on the whole, if you just talk to people in general, bathtubs, even in homes, one is more than enough. I mean, I can't. How about you? When's the last time you took a bath?
That's well, and unless you've got some kind of medical condition or something like that where you need to immerse yourself in the water. But anyway, Joe was just talking about the fact that hotels now, nobody's building hotel rooms with bathtubs. And the ones that had bathtubs, in many cases, when they're being remodeled, the bathtubs are being taken out because then it gives the room just that much more space. And of course, the goal of hotels, I'm sure, would be to get the bathroom down to the same size as the airline one. All right. Next week on the Travel Guys, we're going to take you back. About 5 years ago, we did an interview with a lady about the Green Book, which was used as a guidebook for African Americans in the southern part of the country back during segregation. As you know, the Green Book won an Oscar last week. We are going to have that interview for you next week on the Travel Guys so you can learn a little bit about the real Green Book.
Yeah, it'll be insightful. You know, a lot of people have heard about the movie. They kind of got an idea as to what the movie's all about if they haven't seen it. But the Green Book really, which the title of the movie, the movie doesn't have anything to do about the book.
Not really.
But when you hear this interview, it'll all kind of come together for you.
It really will. Also, Chris Elliott's Customer Service Awards are given out, and we'll have him with those next week on The Travel Guys. You be well. Dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.
He never has the time to turn around.